This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So welcome to this very important day in our church calendar, the baptism of our Lord. Now, many of you, or maybe even all of you, have been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, let's talk, because it's a wonderful thing. And what exactly is baptism? Well, it's a ritual, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But many of you may have been baptized, like my children were, as tiny little infants, or even as toddlers. What do we really remember of our baptism? Now, I was baptized at the age of 22. So I grew up in the Southern Baptist tradition, which is you're not baptized until you are an adult and able to proclaim that identity as your own. So I was baptized by the bishop at age 22 and on the same day became an Episcopalian. They went really well together. But having become Episcopalian, both of my children were then baptized as infants on this holy day, the baptism of our Lord. But what exactly is baptism? I was reminded of a story, a good old Southern story, like you might hear around a game of cards or shucking some oysters in the backyard. But there was this town, and for lack of a better description, a town drunk, someone who was quite often inebriated. And one day he's stumbling around, you know, taking a walk through the woods, and he comes upon this baptismal service on a Sunday morning down by the river. And back in the day, and everyone was wearing their white robes, and the preacher was in the water, and there were crowds of people gathered around and people wading out into the water, waiting to be baptized. And so this gentleman, he walks right down into the water, and he stood next to the preacher, and he's just watching, taking it in. What's going on here? And the minister turns, and he notices the gentleman here, and he says, you know, sir, are you ready to find Jesus? And the gentleman looks at him, you know, slightly inebriated, leaning a little bit, and he goes and he looks back and he says, yes, preacher, I sure am. And so the preacher, the minister, then takes the gentleman and he holds the nose, a full immersion dunk. He dunks him in the water and he pulls him back up and he says, have you found Jesus? And the gentleman looks at him and he goes, nah, preacher, I didn't find Jesus. So the preacher takes him again and he dunks him in the water again and he holds him down a little longer and he brings him up and he's like, oh God, have you found Jesus? And he says, no, brother, I haven't found Jesus. So the preacher, at a loss, three times to charm, right, takes the gentleman again, holds his chest and holds him under the water, brings him back up. Now, son, have you found Jesus? And the old man says, he wipes his eyes, he's grasping for breath, and he's looking around at all these people. And he goes, nah, preacher, are you sure this is where we fell in? What exactly is a baptism? Well, it's a ritual. It's a ritual that's been repeated for centuries and centuries and millennia, and even before it became a ritual for us to join the body of Christ. It was a ritual, a similar ritual in many ways as representing joining a community. And the thing about baptism and being baptized as an adult is I remember the moment it happened, it wasn't full immersion. We're delicate in the Episcopal Church. It was a few little drops on the head. I didn't immediately feel different. There was no clouds parting and the Spirit of God and the dove coming upon me and said, this is my beloved. That didn't happen to me. I sort of looked up and thought, okay, what's next? But it's a ritual, and most of the ritual, much of it is a symbol. In our church, in our tradition, we describe it as a sacrament. a sacrament, something that is sacred. The word sacrament that we use means an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Baptism being an outward and visible sign of water and anointing, a sign of a new beginning of inward and spiritual grace and renewal. Now, I think ideally for many who were joining John in the river to be baptized, the hope was there would be something transformative that happened right away. And maybe for many there were. Maybe at your baptism, you had such an experience. Or maybe witnessing another's baptism, you had such an experience. But I wonder if for many, it's a thing that we do because we're encouraged to. And maybe in that moment or that day, we feel that inward and spiritual grace, that we are celebrated in the community. And then we go home. And we wake up the next day. And while we know we have received this ritual of belonging to become God's beloved, maybe inside we really don't feel all that different. I was reading a new book recently. You may have heard of it. As the new year comes around, we are all in gear to ready to start something new. Atomic Habits by James Clear. Atomic Habits, and he writes this story at the beginning. It's a great book, by the way. I just started it yesterday and I couldn't put it down. So if you were looking for something to read, Atomic Habits. But he writes a story about the British cycling team. The British cycling team were huge failures. They were so much huge failures until around 2003 that even some of the best world products of bikes and biking gear, street cycling, would not sponsor any of the British team riders because they were afraid that they would actually lose business if people saw them wearing their gear. Well, that's pretty bad, friends. Well, they got a new coach. And in 2003, he started working with them, and he says, you know what? Rather than our goal being that we're going to become world champions or win the Olympics or the Tour de France, our goal is going to be to improve 1% every day. Just 1%. So he started with their gear. What if we made the seat a little more comfortable? 1%. Now the riders could ride a little longer. What if we had the right clothes so that when it was cold and windy, you could still stay dry and warm? 1%. What if we made sure that every tire on every cycle before we went out for our ride had exactly the right PSI it was supposed to? 1%. What if we made sure that the vans in which we carry the cycles in are painted white on the interior so we can notice when it gets dusty and therefore keep the bikes clean and the gears clean and the chain clean so that when they come out of the truck, they're ready to go 1%? What if we really focused on rest and recovery, that we found the best cream for those sore muscles? And the right doctor to help them when they had an injury? What if they helped them learn better sleeping habits so that when they had a good night's rest, they would wake up more refreshed and ready for the ride ahead? And over the course of 5 years, they made these small adjustments. And for the first time in history, the British cycling team won the Tour de France. Over the next 3 or 4 years, and I don't have the numbers here, but they won as many as 186 championships around the world. Now, all of a sudden, the sponsors were going after the British cycling team. And the only thing that changed was the idea that 1% better would accumulate into something bigger. What does this have to do with baptism? Well, my friends, as I was thinking about today, the baptism of our Lord, and that day when we are celebrated, or those we love, or those we witnessed, or even if we're curious what this baptism is all about, the thing about baptism is, when we read the story of Jesus being baptized today, this was the beginning of his ministry, not the end. Baptism is the beginning of a new way of life. And maybe we have these big dreams about what it looks like to live into baptism in the life of Jesus. Pray every day. Go to church every Sunday. Never swear. Don't be mean. Always be kind. I'm already exhausted. But what if rather instead we looked at it like that British cycling team? That the accumulation of trying just 1% every day to follow Jesus, just 1% better. That over the course of time, we would reach that ever-blessed place where Jesus resides so fully and so clearly in our heart that it becomes easier. That of all those 1% days, whatever they may be, and you can reflect with God and find out what are those 1% places, that over the course of the next year, it will impact your life so profoundly that those around you will be impacted as well. 1% in a year can accumulate to 30%. Imagine as we sit here today, wherever you are in your journey and your baptism with Jesus, if in a year you were 30% closer to that beloved child of God, that Jesus is our example. The lovely thing about 1% is that if you fall, it's not very far. And we will fall. But my friends, as we think about this ritual of holy baptism, and we think about living into a life of Jesus Christ, we're reminded that it was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and thus the beginning of our own transformation. Amen.